everyone. Welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. Today is February the 8th, 2026. And we were discussing the gas crisis the first hour. You can find all that information on our website, but we have given you a direct link on that topic at gascrisis.org. We hope you will share that with other people. There's a lot of information you can read, you can watch, you can listen, and you can do all three. But we have given you no shortage of info there. This hour, we're going to switch gears, and we are chatting with the Election Integrity Project in California. So we have Ruth Weiss and we have Linda Payne, and I do not have bios for either of them, so they can tell us as much or as little as they would like. But holy cow, Linda! We talked to her right after she invented the election integrity process. I can't remember if Ruth, if you were there at the beginning or not.
Almost.
Almost at the beginning?
A couple months later, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so, I don't know, this is like, good grief, like 14 years ago or something.
Well, this is our 16th year.
Well, there you go. And we discovered you way back when in our world. And it's just become more and more and more important. So you guys are a California nonprofit public benefit corporation committed to defending through education, research, and advocacy the civil rights of U.S. citizens to fully participate in the election process under federal and state law. And I guess your own website is the most succinct. It's EIP-CA.com. So EIP-CA.com.
Just if I can clarify, Aaron.
Yes.
The acronym doesn't have the hyphen.
Oh, it doesn't?
The email address does. No, because we couldn't get EIPCA,
yeah,
uppercase EIPCA, with the domain itself in order to use it for an email address and a website address. So we were forced to put a hyphen between EIP and CA.
Uh-huh.
But everyone knows this by most, but the correct acronym doesn't have that.
Yeah. So, but if they put EIPCA.com, it doesn't go to the right spot. You got to have the hyphen in there.
Correct.
Yes.
No sweat. Well, we have you on the page for today, so they can link through that if they're driving around or whatever and don't have a pen in their hand. But you guys want to give us a little bit of background on this or jump right into, you drive the bus. We'll follow along. How about that?
Okay. Yep, so you've captured so much of the history of who we are, so, and I appreciate that. But, yeah, we started after the 2010 election and realized there were issues. And without the long story of that, we started our first research of voter rolls in 2011 and our first observation of the election process in 20 counties in 2012. And so we've grown from there. But the most important thing that has happened over the 15 years of research, and all of our research is original source and eyewitness testimony. And we've tried many, many efforts to get action taken about what we really will say is a corrupt system, penetrable in multiple ways, many entry points. But last year, the most important thing we did were two things. One was to propose to Congress comprehensive federal election integrity legislation. And Ruth is going to talk about that and using the amazing articles that she's been writing. She's an amazing author. I get to poke at it and edit, but she's just really the author of most of these. And then after she finishes, I'd like to talk about the voter roll research that we have on our website, 2020 and 2024 research of the 2022. This is where seats are flipped. So that's how we can do it. That's how we'd like to,
sure,
be able to give people a lot of good information in a nutshell.
Very good. So
Ruth, why don't you
hit it, Ruth?
I'll do that then. In our proposal, I think there are about 17 different suggestions that are proposals that we made. I've kind of combined a few of them together so that it turns out in the article to be about 11, but in the proposal, a few of them are separated out and described independently. But the first article in the series that we have going now, which is called Understanding EIPCA's Federal Legislative Proposal, in the very first article, which all of these can be found on our website as soon as they've been published. And so part one has been published, and this is giving the basic history of why we're asking what we are asking here of Congress, and we go through the idea that, we tried to do everything all the right way for the first 12 or 13 or 14 years by working locally and working with elections divisions in the counties and at the state, and then working with the legislature, and then finally going through courts with a few lawsuits, and we just discovered that there was absolutely no way that we could solve any of these issues internally within California. In the meantime, during that 15 years, a lot of the very bad ideas that California implemented have migrated into a lot of other states, and therefore this becomes a national election integrity critical situation here. You know, it's an emergency, which is why we're asking now Congress to do this, because it's not just for the benefit of the state of California, but actually the entire nation, if we want to retain the republic and allow the people to accurately select the people who are going to govern them. So briefly, the elements in our proposal, there are two elements in the law that everybody's hearing a lot about these days before Congress, called the SAVE Act. And that requires citizenship proof when you register to vote and photo voter ID when you're going to cast a ballot. And so we really support that law, but it falls far short of plugging all the holes that Linda referenced in our system. So there's a new law that the committee to whom we presented our proposal has now authored a new law called Make Elections Great Again, MEGA, MEGA. And it contains a much larger number of our proposals. So the ones I'm going to go through now are what we're proposing. And then if people are listening and going, well, why would we need that, or, you know, whatever, as you read through these articles, we're taking these one at a time and explaining more in depth the necessity for these actions to be taken. But besides the registering with proof of identity and citizenship, we want to eliminate vote by mail, except for the people who absolutely can demonstrate an actual need. In other words, get rid of just sending ballots to everybody indiscriminately, and just make sure that people who need an absentee ballot apply for one each time that they need it.
Like we used to in the olden days.
Yes, and it's been the case in some states. And it was true in California until 1998, and then it got, you know, kind of mixed up. And now, of course, as of 2020, California is a universal vote by mail, and that's a tremendous destroyer of election integrity. And we could go into all the history with the presidential commissions and everything on that. But so we want to limit voting by mail. We're asking Congress to stop ballot harvesting, which, of course, wouldn't be much of a thing if not everybody had a vote-by-mail ballot, right? But we want to limit ballot harvesting back to the original, which is only the voter or a family member or caretaker can turn in the ballot if that voter is not able to do so. We also want to get rid of undocumented chains of custody. That's the biggest problem with vote-by-mail ballots, is you have no chain of custody. And so we want to get rid of community drop boxes and that sort of thing as well, because the chain of custody disappears the minute you put your ballot into those boxes. We also are asking that same-day registration be eliminated, because it is an enormous way for people to register to vote and get that vote counted without going through all of the checks and balances that we have before we put someone on the voter rolls. And we have pretty good reason to believe that a large number of ballots that are being cast without a voter to match up to winds up with that system of just walking in and voting on the day that you register. we also believe that Congress should demand reasonable deadlines for registration rather than, you know, too close to election day. We need to have adequate time and opportunity to audit the registrations and double-check the eligibility of these people. We're asking that election day, whatever election day is, currently it's on that Tuesday, but, you know, Congress wants to change it, fine. But whatever is named election day, be the day on which all ballots have to be in the hands of the elections officials by 8 p.m. that night at the close of the polls. So no more late ballots. We have states that allow ballots to come in up to 17 or 21 days after Election Day and be counted. California's deadline is now 7 days, but any late ballot, there's no excuse for it, and so we're asking them to eliminate being able to vote after the fact.
Is that including, like, postmark, somebody puts it in the mail type of thing?
No, it's not. we want to say no. It's got to be in the hands of the elections officials. It can't be on its way because it has a postmark. And the Postal Service has made the postmark a real difficult situation recently by changing their rules, and they're warning people, we cannot guarantee that the day you put the ballot in our hands is the day that the postmark will reflect.
Right.
And so it's going to be a real gray area at this point anyway. So we just want to eliminate that and say, come on, if you can't turn your ballot in on time, then, you know, you've got, what, 30 days to do it, or 45 if you're overseas. So there's certainly no reason to accept a ballot coming in late. We also have talked about the National Voter Registration Act and the Help America Vote Act as having really holes in them. NVRA, the National Voter Registration Act, is one that actually has contradictions within itself so that no election official can actually follow that law, because if you follow one thing, then you're violating another thing. And so they need to clean that up or just get rid of it and replace it with something a lot more simple. It was originally designed to make a registration more accessible so that more people could get on the voter rolls without a lot of hassle. And we support that. But it has been abused now by California and a large number of states. Instead of making these registration forms available at all these places that people frequent, California is now mandated registration. You know, you walk in, they automatically send your stuff and register you, and that is not part of a free society. And it also allows for a lot of people who may be ineligible to have their information sent up to the Secretary of State and get through onto the voter roll. So that's not a good thing. And the Help America Vote Act was also had a lot of good things to help clean the voter rolls, to help keep registration available to everyone, so that nobody was denied the ability to register. But there's just too many holes in it, and both of those acts have been highly abused. California's biggest abuse, in my opinion, is the use of the provisional ballot way outside the bounds of what the HAVA Act actually suggested. So we're asking them to really rework both of those laws and create a federal database for states to be able to use so that they can accurately determine whether they've got voters who are voting in more than one state and, make sure that their voter rolls stay clean. We want to ask Congress to prohibit the mandatory or automatic registration of people when they interact with the DMV or other federal and state agencies because of the errors that have happened there, particularly getting non-citizens registered to vote. And then those registrations become a great pile of registrations that the registrant himself is not even aware is there. And so they become ripe for abuse. We're asking that the federal registration form that is part of these laws be changed, because it does not ask for proof of citizenship. And so any state that wanted to ask for proof of citizenship, they were denied that ability because in this law, the federal registration form, which all states have to accept, doesn't have that on it. So we're asking that they put that on the federal registration
because
form.
Because right
well
now it so just says, are you a citizen, yes or no, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's no research in that.
Correct.
If you check yes, you're a citizen. And if you check no, you're not a citizen. And if you don't check either one, the default is, okay, he's a citizen. So that's not okay.
Did not know that.
It is. And in fact, some states, I think California is one of them, if you check no, they actually send you a card back and say, now, are you sure you checked this box? Are you sure you don't want to change your mind? So it's just a little bit.
Would you like
a little
to change your answer?
There. Exactly. That's your final answer.
Yeah, you're right. There you go.
So,
that's it.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
And then And then the amount of time that was set up by these laws to get a person who has become inactive off the voter rolls is really outrageous. It takes, from the moment a voter just simply ceases to communicate electorally at all, they don't vote, they don't sign petitions, they don't update anything, nobody hears from them. It takes 8 years to get them off the voter rolls. In the entire time that they're waiting, those 8 years, to make sure that person really isn't active anymore, it causes those registrations to be vulnerable to impersonation.
Yeah, shoot. Well, that's only two presidential elections, so.
Exactly.
You know, how big a deal could that be? Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Ladies, we have to take a really quick break, and then we're going to come back and do some more scary math with you. We are chatting with Linda and Ruth from the Election Integrity Project. Their website is eip-ca.com, and you can find that all at wethepeopleradio.us.
I've done the math, calibrated the imperfections. I got my slide rule from school. You add it up, and it don't add up. Maybe shed some light on it too. And I'm just inches close to the finish. Cross it and bid you adieu. I calculated every combination, every misdirection, every subtle deception. Kickstart my thinking, I was lost in space, staring at a spot on the moon. Negotiating the anticipation of reentering the atmosphere too soon.
Possible theme song for your musical. Why are we doing it this way? Okay. So now where?
Well, you want me to just run through the last of them really, really quickly?
No worries.
We're asking that anything that is structurally anti-democratic or confusing or unreliable be prohibited, such as the top two primary or the jungle primary and the ranked choice voting and the registration of people under the age of 18. We want to have an alignment of requirements for out-of-country voters to match the security level of the in-country voters, because we found a lot of difficulty with that particular system in the last couple of elections. We want to limit the number of days for early voting and prohibit, this is the big one, prohibit election technology. So we want to get rid of electronic poll books, voting machines, ballot marking devices, because all of them are vulnerable, every single one of them. And day after day after day, we're getting more and more evidence that not only are they vulnerable, but those vulnerabilities are being accessed. And we cannot have any sense that we have a secure election. So we want to go back to in-person voting with paper ballots that are watermarked and secured and hand-counted at the precinct level. You have states like California that takes 30 days to let us know who won. And you can do with hand-counting at the precinct level, you can do it within a day or a day and a half. So we deserve to have the results of our elections a lot sooner than a month later. And we should be able to do that by making that big change. And so that basically summarizes all of the major asks in our proposal. And so, you know, it's a lot to chew on, and that's why we've broken it down into a series of articles so that people could chew on each one of those one at a time. So we encourage people to go to our website, download those articles, sign up to get them into your own box, because we're on number four now coming up. So we've got three you can go in and read, and then just get the rest of them on a weekly basis as we put them out.
Well, I
thank you, Ruth.
I think that's a good place to start.
That, and we need, before we go into the voter rolls, it's really critical that we get the word out to the whole country. And so, Aaron, we really appreciate you having us on your radio show. So many people have no idea that Californians have the best documented evidence, so our attorneys tell us, of depth and breadth and through the length of time, as you've noticed. So we're not recommending these changes because we have a feeling there's something wrong. It's because we've documented the problem. And one of the biggest issues that we've also documented is the voter rolls, and that's also on our website. We've got a little box up there where we put series of articles or links to research, and one is called EIPCA Voter Roll Research Results for 2020 and 2022, and we include live links to our research. We are working this year to get in front of Attorney General Pam Bondi and Kristi Noem, Department of Homeland Security, and that's because in those two sets of research of the statewide voter rolls, we identified critical issues that made it possible to flip the seats in 2020 and 2022 in California, and it's our opinion that it appears that potentially criminal action has taken place. So if anyone would like to see what kind of work we do in the voter rolls, which of course everyone does across the country, which is good, but in 2022, if you go to that little box and click on the research for 2022, you'll see that we did the research of the voter rolls all through 2020. We sent 16 letters to the Department, Secretary of State, and registrars of voters, alerting them to critical issues that we were finding in the voter rolls and encouraging them not to send out these massive vote-by-mail ballots because they were going to send them to almost 500,000 ineligible names on the voter rolls. They ignored it, and so in 2021, we put a letter to Attorney General Padilla, not Attorney General, Secretary of State Padilla at the time, letting him know what we found. And one of the biggest concerns I have in that research is a live link to one of the questions regarding the thousands of people on the voter rolls that show their place of birth is from another country. So in our research, we show in 2017, here are the names, it's 14 pages long, the names of all the people on the voter rolls that show place of birth as a foreign country. But then in 2020, miraculously, thousands of them changed their place of birth to California, or the United States.
Wow.
And so that's a little criminality there, in our opinion, and we need the Department of Justice to look at that. And that's why we have it out there. We've had it out there since 2021, and we've sent many people and journalists across the country to look at that. And as journalists ask the question, what happened there? We have another one there in 2024, our data research team. They are amazing and very talented. And our chief analyst, Ellen Swenson, has done so much of this work. She's brilliant. But in 2024, our team asked if they could order the exact snapshot of the 2022 voter rolls data that the Secretary, California Secretary of State Weber, sent to Congress saying, here are the federal seats that were voted for by the citizens of California. And so we went ahead and ordered that data. Normally we get the data in a week. It took them 4 months. We finally got that exact snapshot of the certified data, and you'll see in a link to the certification that she sent. And when our team ran that data, we found that after certification, 43,000-plus extra ballots were added to the numbers that were sent to Congress.
Wow.
And if you recall, in 2022, there were seats that were flipped. Many of them were tied to L.A. County or they were in L.A. County. We have a live link to one of our reports that we sent called Method of Voting. And in the research of the voter rolls, we identify the people with each voter ID number given to them by VoteCal that shows if they voted by mail, if they voted in person, or if they voted same day. And if you go to that link, you'll see every county is listed, but especially go to L.A. County, and you will see thousands that were switched. some voted twice, not switched, but, well, I think they're switched. The big question is what happened with them. Here's the same voter ID number, voted in person at a vote center and voted by mail, or voted twice by mail, or voted three times by mail, or same day. I mean, you'll see the variation. And we believe that those seats that were flipped by using those duplicates and triplicates, that they were ineligible. Those people are sitting in those seats and they're ineligible. What can be done about it? Well, I don't know that they can be brought back, but the Attorney General Bondi needs to look at this, because what California did is they defrauded the whole country, because the people sitting in Congress make decisions for the whole country. And it's our opinion that every Attorney General of every state that cares about this should be filing legal action against California Secretary of State and demanding to know what they did. We filed a writ of mandate in 2024 to try to prevent them from doing that in the 2024 election. And, of course, they refused to answer our questions, and because we filed the writ against the Secretary of State and the L.A. County registrar voters, because so much of it happened there. But they both are sort of pointing fingers at each other. L.A. County said, it's not our fault. We sent all the stuff up to Secretary of State. They did this. Secretary of State said, it's not our fault. That happened in L.A. County. So right now our legal team is looking at filing a federal lawsuit. But we think every attorney general should be looking at this, because, again, we think that's criminal. That defrauded the rest of the country to add 43,000 plus after the fact. And so this is why we decided to write the proposal, as Ruth said earlier. We have gone to every length possible on behalf of the citizens of California. And in fact, the Ninth Circuit gave the IPCA standing for our constitutional challenge in 2021. And we got executive standing, meaning they recognized Election Integrity Project California as officially able to represent the voters of California. And so on behalf of the voters of California, we continue to challenge the election system in California, which includes an incredibly corrupt system of mismanaging the voter rolls. But this is why we now went to Congress. Californians no longer have the ability to choose who will represent them. All of the processes Ruth laid out, and the mismanagement of the statewide voter rolls, and the interaction between the LA County, which is, by the way, the largest county in the country and is, in fact, larger than all but five states. When L.A. County does something like that, it impacts the whole country and determines who will sit in Congress. So we are really excited in September 24, Ruth and I and another one of our board members, Dennis, who is in the D.C. area, we brought the proposal to 20 legislators, but especially to Congressman Stiles and the committee for writing voter legislation. We brought all that to them. And on our website, you'll see a very long box at the very top, EIPCA and AFF. AFF is Advocates for Faith and Freedom. They're the law firm that we worked with and have worked with since 2021. But we worked with them to put this proposal together, and they actually wrote the legal memo that is the first part of the proposal. I think it's 11 or 12 pages, but the legal memo lays out for Congress that they do, in fact, have the authority to pass federal election integrity legislation for the whole country. In fact, they've already done it. The National Voter Registration Act, that was federal law. Every state had to comply with it. And the Help America Vote Act, same thing. And in fact, way back in our history, in the very early days, the state could make up their own date and time for when they would run their federal elections, and sometimes it takes 6 months before they knew who the new president was. So the very first federal legislation that Congress passed was to make this first Tuesday of the fourth year of November, first Tuesday of November every 4 years would be a federal election. And so we know they have the authority to do that, and that's what's in the proposal. But what we really wanted people to see, and Aaron, if you happen to be on the link, you'll see when you click on that box, there are a number of links in that box. One is the proposal itself, and the other is the appendix. We cited over 101 EIPCA research, findings reports, letters to the Department of Justice, all of the actions we've taken to prove that California's system is corrupt and easily manipulated because of the many entry points of corruption. And so we want people to go there and read it for themselves. Look at what the reports say. Look at the letter we sent to Department of Justice saying in 2020, saying VoCal is unreliable. It should be decertified immediately before the 2020 election. And, of course, we were ignored. So I think in a nutshell, that's the biggest thing. We want to leave room for questions. But I am so proud of Californians. You know, Californians, you know, really have gotten a raw deal over the last 15 years that Ruth and I have worked with Election Integrity Project California. You know, the propaganda that Californians are just so stupid, they voted to destroy themselves, is nothing but propaganda. You know, that the citizens of California stepped up every year that we were going to observe an election and take our training, which is 4 to 5 hours, and observe and document for what became 2 months, is amazing that they kept getting up and kept documenting for us. So that's why we have such depth and breadth of documented evidence. And in fact, we have documented the election process in 43 out of 58 counties. That's a massive amount of work for a gigantic state. No other state has this kind of evidence. It's because California kept fighting back. Some of the most amazing patriots are in the state of California. Many have had to flee the state. But even so, they support us through donations in the other states and working in their new states to try to alert people about the possibility of bad law that will create an election system in their state, like what California created. So that's what we have so far, and that's what we're doing, Aaron. And let me leave the rest to questions. What else would you like to know, and what can we tell your audience?
Well, how about this? Let's take our break just slightly early. A whole 40 seconds. That's early for me. And then we can come back with that. I did link this memo. I plugged it on the page, dropped it on the page that we're on, so all the links are there. And your website, of course, and all of that for people to review. And I hope they will. It's February 8th, 2026, in case we re-air this at some later time. And you can find it at wethepeopleradio.us.
They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing.
You ever loved someone so much you thought your little heart was gonna...
Who's to say I can't do everything, but I can try. And as I roll along, I begin to find things aren't always just what they seem. I wanna turn the whole thing upside down. I'll find the things they say just can't be found. I'll share this love I'll find with everyone.
I guess except for the whole love part, you could use that one too. We can ditch that part or sub something in. Oh, I'm sure AI could do that for us. Okay, so for I'm always channeling the opposition in the back of my mind, which is probably why I'll never truly be happy. But I can hear them saying, oh, there's never been any evidence of voter fraud.
Right.
Right? I mean, you've heard it a billion times, I'm sure.
Yeah, right. And we always send them to the website and say, it's right there. If you're willing to read it, the live links are right there.
Right. But if it's against the law to do that, then, and I'm not asking you this because you have the perfect answer, but, I mean, just, then why hasn't any of it officially come to light? Why isn't anyone being prosecuted? Yada, yada, yada. But what do you tell them?
Well,
see if our answers are the same.
Yeah, the fact is, those who are in positions of power and authority, many in both parties, they don't want to see the changes because that's how they keep their seats.
Right.
And the Uniparty, you know, we have those in one party who are fighting back, but not all of them in that party are fighting back. And so we're nonpartisan, and that's why neither party likes us. We started in the beginning and said it doesn't matter who's cheating. The citizens have the right to choose, and no matter what party you are, we're going to go after the person who is cheating or manipulating. And so neither party likes us. And that's why we are the best kept secret. It's very tough to get media attention on what we do, and when we do, it doesn't pick up and go. But you know what? I think we are now at a point in history where so many people in so many states are now being impacted by these bad laws that Ruth laid out for you, that they can no longer say it's just California. They'd like to say it's all those Californians who moved to our state, they're doing it. And we say, oh, sure, like they have that much power. Who makes the rules? It's the legislators. And we used to meet every couple of weeks with people from across the state, Jay DeLancey out in North Carolina with Voter Integrity Project, and Ruth and I with Election Integrity Project. We would be on the a call with people from the other states and laying out for them the issues that we documented and encouraging them to look at the laws in their state. And if they don't see them, make sure they don't let them come in. And if they see them, they should press to have them removed. So it is the laws that create the system, not the citizens fleeing tyranny. They don't have that kind of power. It's the laws in each state, and it's the responsibility of citizens in each state, whether they've been there all their lives or they're new to a state, to be part of ensuring integrity in that process of their state. But when the states can't choose, then it's the job of Congress to act and ensure that every state functions as a republic.
Yeah. And
one of the most frustrating things for me...
It's worth noting that, I mean... elected representatives at the state or federal level are not electing themselves. So we see a lot of bad choices going on. I mean, there were many, many people in California who voted for Prop 50 because they believed that it was going to send a message to Donald Trump and stop fascism and all sorts of other nuttiness.
But Aaron, I don't believe they did, because in the same way...
Oh, they did. I spoke with several thousand of them, actually.
Well, those ones did. But the thing we're concerned about, it goes back even to 2021, Gavin Newsom recall. We knew the number of people, because in our research of the voter rolls and the research of what was coming out, people were voting yes to recall him, and yet in the remaking of ballots, they were changing it to no. And I can't help but wonder how many people voted no to Prop 8 in the remaking of the ballots. It was changed to yes. There were definitely those who, exactly what you said, they were bigots to Donald Trump. But look at how many people voted for Donald Trump in the state of California. Do we think they all voted yes to remove?
No, but I mean, many of them I've spoken with because I'm inquisitive. And so when someone, calls and wants to complain about Gavin Newsom, I always ask, hey, did you sign the recall petition, back when? And, oh yeah, I did. I said, hey, I don't care how you voted, but did you vote when it was on the ballot? Oh, no, I didn't bother. They were just going to cheat. There's no point. And it's like, oh, my God, you're the problem. I mean, there's a lot of that. I think there's more than we would like to. I'm not going to say that that's the answer. But that is a big part of our problem, people abdicating their responsibility to stay engaged with the process. I mean, you're not advocating people just sit at home and hope that it magically solves itself.
Right.
Points that we make in our articles is that a lot of these policies that have been enacted are actually voter suppression, because they create that kind of feeling in
of course.
People, because they tip the scales, and what it's doing is encouraging more people to just sit it out, because why bother? And so our message has always been, no, you still have to vote. We can still outvote the fraud if you really get up and do it for now. But it's a growing problem of people just saying, you know, my vote doesn't count, and that is not what you want anybody to believe, right?
Yeah.
So we've given this comprehensive thing, you know, as you saw, it's pretty big, and there's a lot of pieces to it, and we want to make the point that if you just enact one or two of those changes, that's helpful, but it's not going to fill all the holes. Only if we re-secure that election system so that none of this manipulation can get in, that's when we have a secure election system, and then people will feel better about voting. And so we want people to say, okay, yes, the SAVE Act is great, but it's only two of the 17 pieces to what really needs to be done. And we need the public to understand what we're proposing and why, which is why we're saying please go to the website, please read these articles, because in all 50 states now, the people, the enlightened people, need to start slowly putting pressure. I don't want to say slowly, I want to say right now.
Yeah, right.
Start putting pressure on their own Congress representatives in both the Senate and the House to say, hey, we've had enough of these wishy-washy elections that nobody believes in anymore, and you need to make these changes, because this is a very scary thing for Congress, and it's going to take a lot of courage for people to get out and really support these changes. And they will support them if they have the wind beneath their wings, which should be their constituents saying, do it, do it, we'll love you for it. So it's really important that people understand what we're proposing, why we're proposing it, and then take that next step to, on a weekly basis, just call into your congressperson's office or write them an email, a constituent email, and say, you know, I want to remind you, this bill is there, let's go for it, let's get it all done. If we don't do that, then, you know, the Congress is still not going to have the courage to take that kind of move.
Yeah, well, my guess is it won't fly through, you know, in the Senate. But is there a state, just out of curiosity, is there a state that is kind of like a, I don't know, maybe this is a bridge too far, but a shining example of good voter laws and practices? Is there anybody,
you know,
who's doing great?
There's not any state that's not using some of these laws anymore, but there are many states who are fighting back. Arizona is one of them. The state legislators, and you know what? It's because so many Californians moved here and got involved. And they hate Californians, but thank God we all moved here, because I now run the company from here. I had to move here when my mom had a massive heart attack, and I moved here to help care for her. But many of the Make America Great Again type candidates ran for office here and won. And all last year and this year again, they have put forward many solid, good laws that would get rid of a lot of this garbage. But we have a very corrupt Attorney General and a very corrupt Secretary of State, who Secretary of State just blocks everything. So,
and the governor.
And the governor, right.
Yeah,
the governor,
he's vetoed all those laws.
Right. And so the thing is that's good is every state where the legislators in that state are trying to pass good laws, that's hope for the nation. And citizens in those states should be pushing hard to get this federal legislation passed, both of them, the SAVE Act and the MEGA Act. And states where they're just starting to wake up that maybe we should fight back. Like even in Maine, some of the Northeast are starting to realize, oh my goodness, maybe we went too far. You know, but it's going to be a battle because, you know, the people who were woke, the people who hate America, they have been organized and been fighting back, fighting us for a long time. And what we say to everyone is this is the time to truly stand and do the right thing, press for federal legislation that would protect and restore the republic. Because right now, in states like California, California is not functioning like a republic. The republic was designed on the basis of citizen self-governance. We, the people, choose. And so that mechanism by which we use to choose has to be safe, secure, integrity-based. It has to be able to verify. I mean, it's just, it can't be manipulated, because when it is manipulated, like what happened in California through bad state and federal law, then citizens go to the polls and vote, but they're not truly voting for very much. And those, some of them who don't vote anymore, that's why they've given up.
Mm-hmm.
But when that happens, California is not functioning as a republic any longer. It's more like a socialist oligarchy. And so that's the responsibility of Congress to take action and correct the bad laws through federal law. And that's what we're trying to do in California and all states where the laws have become so bad at the state level that Congress must act to restore the republic and a Republican form of government, not Republican the party, but what our founders put in place for us.
Yeah, because it is pretty crazy. I mean, for the life of me, I cannot figure out what people were thinking with the top two, you know, they often call jungle primary, but top two on the ballot instead of, you know, the top vote getter on the Republican side and the top vote getter on the Democrat side. I don't think there were enough people in third party, you know, in the third party advocacy to make it mean anything. I think it was a way for really the Democratic Party to make sure that they had the top two, and ultimately in the general election, the Republicans had zero to vote for. I don't know. I wasn't watching it real close.
You know, back in the day, I was part of the Tea Party movement, and we were really pushing back. But what we learned is at that time in California history, Republicans just trusted Republicans and Republican voters. So it was Abe Maldonado was a Republican who carried the top two primary, and so everyone voted for it because it was a Republican. Now, at that time, I was still living in L.A. County, and the company was formed in California, and so I used to go to the L.A. County Registrar's monthly meetings for, you know, all organizations. There would be 100 people who would go, and maybe 10 of us would actually be Republicans. But I remember being at one of those after the top two passed, and they were so excited. They were patting each other on the back that we did it, we got them to carry it. And that's how I know what happened with that. They got a Republican to carry it. It was their idea. They developed that in L.A. County, got a Republican to carry it, and the Republicans just said, oh, it must be good. So that's when we weren't self-governing. We were just sort of following party line. And as a result of the Tea Party, I think a lot of people have woken up over the years. That's how we got involved with looking at elections, was through the Tea Party. Yep. So I think now the focus is really turning back to citizen self-governing, and really every voter has to take responsibility for themselves to look at the issue. And that's our hope, is our proposal, is giving it to every voter, Democrat or Republican, doesn't matter to us. Look at the facts. There they are.
Well, it is kind of interesting that, and the other thing that isn't always considered is, you know, you hear quite a bit, oh, well, President Trump just needs to do whatever, whatever. And it's like, you do realize that, A, the next guy comes in and potentially just erases that. So it's really not a durable solution. And the other part is, what if, okay, that would work well for us right now, but switch the administration. Is that still working for us? I mean, I think we have to take like a longer, you know what I mean? Like a longer view of how these things will impact us, like the top two, you know?
Right. You know, and that's the MEGA Act, they didn't include that. And so EITCA is going to press them to amend the MEGA Act and add that in. And as we put these articles out, we encourage people to take action. It's not just reading the articles and learning, but we're asking people to take action across the nation to contact their legislators. And there will be one where we do the top two. We'll be asking people to contact their legislators and ask them to amend it and add that in. We've got to end the top two primary. It is part of our proposal.
Yeah.
It's just MEGA didn't include that one.
Well, it ensures that the other part of your voters have options. I don't think that's too much to ask, but it is out here now with the gavel coming down on Prop 50 for the 2026 election. We're looking at, you know, what, 48 Democratic congressional members and 4 Republicans likely as the final outcome.
And it's unconstitutional when you look at the map, how many people voted for President Trump.
Well,
and they only have 4 representatives, really?
Yeah, it's kind of, I know there's going to be a lot more to that as we go forward, but for the time being, and the worst thing that could happen is people just throw the towel in and decide that they're not going to play anymore. I mean, that isn't how we fix it. ladies, we're into the last 30 seconds, so we need to tell you thank you and that we will do this again some more. Hope you will send us information, and we will continue to post it for you. And Election Integrity Project has been really leading the way, and I hope people will go do some reading. And I found a special song for you girls, and I'm sure it's the one they play about you while you're not paying attention. It's their secret song for you. So we will chat with you later. You've been listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.